He believes in the power of music to delight us, challenge us, to bring us joy. And he's not afraid to take his singers and audiences to places that may be dark, plumbing the depths of the human heart. In a recent concert season, Stephen Sandmetz led a performance of the War Requiem by Benjamin Britten. James Schmidt from Boston University points to the real tensions in this work and writes, "The War Requiem does not end with the seamless intertwining of the soldiers, let us sleep now, and choirs in paradisum, in paradise. For though the angels may have conducted the soldiers into paradise, those who are left behind have a final portion of the liturgy to perform. The work concludes with the words, Requiescant in pace, Amen. May they rest in peace. Amen." And with yet another unconvincing resolution of that troubling tritune we hear throughout the work. And this final inflection upwards hangs in the air like an unanswered question. Amen? The greatest strength of Britten's audacious composition may rest with its ultimate refusal to reconcile in art what remains unreconciled in life. Though they may rest in peace, it is painfully evident that we do not. Words of James Schmidt. Dr. Sandmetz trusts his singers to hold that tension for us, the listeners. And he also trusts the brilliance of Benjamin Britten to give form to such an unanswered question about the seeming perpetuity of war in the world. Why? What are we to do? Is there hope there can be peace? Stephen Sandmetz will bring his 45-year tenure at Lehigh University to a close the weekend of May 3rd with two performances of the German Requiem of Johannes Brahms. He has chosen this masterwork as his swan song for a number of reasons. Among them, the power of Brahms music to bring us comfort, real consolation in the face of our own mortality and loss of the ones we love, and maybe even a sense of true peace. We had a chance to speak by phone with Stephen Sandmetz, award-winning composer and Ronald J. Ulrich Professor of Music and Director of Lehigh University Choral Arts, as he prepares a program titled I Have Had Singing.
Thank you.
I Have Had Singing, a work by Stephen Sammets, performed here by the esteemed vocal ensemble Chanticleer.
This is my swan song concert for Lehigh. I've been at Lehigh now 45 years, and these will be my final concerts on May 3rd and 4th. And it is still in the springtime where we think about rebirth. So there may not be finality, but there may be the beginnings of new things. Even the Brahms Requiem, which we are featuring on this concert, is very much about cycles of seasons and rebirth. So it's just wonderful to think of this very long journey and period of growth in my life, and I think also a period of growth musically at Lehigh. And, you know, things will continue to grow, I hope personally, but also at Lehigh.
What was it that drew you to Lehigh in the first place?
I was right out of graduate school, and they offered me a job. And the then dean, he described this as a rather infertile field for the arts. He didn't think I'd stay. And surprisingly, it has become a very fertile place for the arts, and it's continued to bloom for 45 years.
So many of the ensembles and so many of the remarkable community partnerships and all of the wonderful works that you have premiered at Lehigh. It's longer than my arm, I think, the list.
Well, we've had wonderful outreach. When I arrived, there was one student group, which had recently gone co-ed the year before I got here, since Lehigh was a bastion of male singing and it was not a co-ed school. And my predecessor, Robert Cutler, very enlightened human being, determined that he would make the choir mixed in his last year rather than leave it to his successor to sort of navigate how to go from this strong tradition of male singing to mixed choir. So I got here. It was the first year of the mixed choir, or the second year at that time, and it has grown. We've gone from one ensemble in the choral program to four. I founded the Choral Union in 1985, so they're coming up on their 39th year, I guess. And that's a wonderful community outreach group that, you know, invites people from all over the Lehigh Valley and our faculty and our staff to be with our students and sing great music with orchestra. They've done phenomenal kinds of pieces. They've done Britten War Requiem a few times and the Debussy Malthier de Saint-Sébastien, the Martyrdom of Saint Sebastian staged with dance and the Saint Matthew Passion staged, and so many opportunities and kinds of collaborations. We've had puppets and parades and dry ice and fog, and our last concert had a balloon drop, and I think we found very creative ways of sort of opening up how choirs are presented. So we've had wonderful times with that, and then I've also had jazz groups here, and we now have the Tenor Bass Glee Club, and of course our treble group Dolce, and it's grown. It's grown a lot.
In the context of a university setting, even if they're community people coming in, you are, of course, trying to pick music that is going to touch us and make us smile and fill us with joy and all of those human emotions. And so these singers need to know how to do that, how to enunciate and how to sing a cappella, those sorts of technical things. But you are also working with students and you're shaping their lives in the sense of the way that they and music interact. So they go out into the world and they, we would hope, are changed human beings because of their engagement with music, the way you open it up for them or to them.
Well, I hope that all of what you just said is true. I believe actually what you said is very true, because we have wonderfully bright students here, and our primary mission is we are an educational institution, and we want to teach them about as much of the incredible variety of ways that the human voice can be raised in song. So we do things from all over the world. We've done Indian music, things from, you know, Hawaii. We've done things in about 20 languages. And then there's major masterworks or pieces from the Renaissance, and It is wonderful to see that they are transformed. And I kind of live at the intersection of mind and heart, because all of that needs to get engaged as artists. And I don't know if that happens all over the university, but I think the students find their passion in singing, and that is something that once you get it going, it's for the rest of your life. So that we have students here who are 18, and we also have people that are singing in their 90s. So it's very intergenerational, and once you tap into that energy, it is kind of a gift for your life.
And you have a wonderful sense of how to put together not just a program, but a season. And you knew this year would be a special programming season because of the new growth that's going to happen as you move on. How did you choose the Brahms Requiem for the spring concert?
Well, that's that's so easy. It's also what Robert Shaw, I believe, chose as his last piece for his retirement. And there's a reason for that. The Brahms is really at the heart of choral music in terms of the masterworks for choir and orchestra. I certainly had colleagues that were encouraging me to go a little flashier and do the Verdi Requiem or, you know, something along those lines. But the Verdi is about the soloists, and the choir is great, and it's very flashy for the orchestra. But the Brahms lives at the heart of singers' kind of experience for choral music. There's two soloists, which are brilliant in the Brahms, but every movement is choral. All of the writing is grateful for the voice, and it really just touches the heart of what singing is about. And it's about comfort, and and the last line is, they shall be known by their works. You know, that their works will follow them. And that seems kind of like a message for retirement as well. The whole concert's being titled I Have Had Singing, which is a title of a very small piece of mine, which has gotten kind of worldwide performances. And it also speaks to just the joy of singing as a text of Ronald's live. He was collecting stories from people in England in very rural areas who lived at the turn of the 19th to 20th century and had known kind of before the Industrial Revolution. And the words are from a gentleman in his 80s who would have been born in the 1880s. And he's reflecting on his life in 1960. And he's saying, you know, his life was very hard and he always farmed this very infertile land. And then he'd get up the next day and do the same thing. And he stops in the middle of this description and says, but there was always singing, the boys in the field, the chapels were full of singing. So I have had pleasure enough. I have had singing. And it seems like that was a message that, well, it is a message that it resonates with professional singers, it resonates with amateur singers, and it expresses the joy in singing.
I remember in the course of your tenure at Lehigh, Stephen, that you won a distinguished prize. And you created a child's requiem as part of that award. And I do remember we talked about it. How did the Brahms requiem come into your consideration as you were creating your own requiem?
You have a good memory, Erica. There is a movement in my child's requiem that quotes the fifth movement of the Brahms setting of the requiem. Child's requiem was very much about how children can be kept safe in our society. And at the time I was writing it, when this was just after Sandy Hook, and I had thought that that would be an anomaly that would never be repeated. And unfortunately, we now live in a time where we see many kinds of tragedies like Sandy Hook. And I was trying to find a message of comfort in my setting. And I wrote this piece called Child of Song, and it's a lament for a child sung by the mother. And in the Brahms Requiem, there's, in the fifth movement, it's the soprano solo singing, I will comfort you as a mother comforts you. But in my Requiem, it really turned it around. It was the kind of voice of the child comforting the mother who is left behind. So it was a slight inversion of that text. But I wanted to find the most maternal, most comforting text to quote while I was writing a kind of little variation on that in my piece. And the Brahms is certainly the most mothering and and beautiful, comforting text, I think, in the choral rep.
And we don't need to know that his own mother did die and that he inserted that movement. But if we know that, it resonates even more deeply, perhaps because of the personal nature in his case.
It does. The Requiem as a whole was probably started by the death of his mentor, Robert Schumann, who had, at a very early age for Brahms, declared Brahms the next messiah of music at the age of 20. He was really saying Brahms would be the next great name in German music. So he was a terrific proponent of Brahms' music. And when he died, also quite tragically, in an asylum, Brahms was writing probably the beginning of the Requiem with Schumann in mind. But his mother died shortly after, and then he added the fifth movement, and it is about, yes, a mother's love.
And tell us about your soloists for this performance, both the soprano and the baritone.
Oh, sure. Amber Monroe is our soprano solo, and she is new to Lehigh. I'm delighted that we're going to be welcoming her for her debut with Lehigh Choral Arts. She's a rising star in the opera world. She'll be at Glimmerglass this coming summer. She's signed with Birmingham Opera, and it's a big, beautiful, opulent voice. And I think it will do the fifth movement. She'll do the fifth movement just gloriously. And Keith Fares, who has sung at Lehigh before, he's sung in operas of Paul Soler, and he sings everywhere. He has been at Los Angeles Opera, Washington National Opera, Seattle Opera, New York City Opera, and the Met. He's done concerts with the New York Phil and San Francisco Symphony, and he sings all over the country. It's an extraordinary baritone voice. And each of the soloists kind of focuses on the most personal moments in the Requiem. So the soprano soloist is this mother, and the baritone solo is a little more cast as the soul trying to find its end. And yeah, it is the most individual statements in the Requiem. So there's an intimacy in the baritone solo as well.
And they will not be singing in Latin, nor will the chorus be.
No, because this is called a German Requiem. And was, again, this is an unusual kind of piece in the repertoire, because many Requiems are settings of the Latin Mass. That is the tradition. And Brahms, when he decided he was going to make a Requiem, he very unusually selected texts by himself from the Bible, New and Old Testament, and he assembled these, and they were all in his vernacular, in German. And he was actually challenged by the first person who was to direct the choir, who said, "There is no mention of Christ in this Requiem." And Brahms wrote back and said, "I would rather call this a human Requiem than a German Requiem." And it is very humanistic. It is very much about comforting the mourners, for people that for those who have lost people. This and the Four Requiem are the two most comforting settings of the Requiem in the repertoire, I would say. And it is not German Requiem in the sense of being nationalistic at all. It's not patriotic. It is a German Requiem because that is the language that Brahms chose to set this in.
We hope that the freshmen haven't had this experience of loss, but how do you work with people who are young still, and maybe our world isn't full of innocence now, and we have those who turn on anything, they get on their phones and there's violence and carnage everywhere, so there are hardly any innocents, but you take them through the Brahms Requiem or the Benjamin Britten War Requiem at what might still be a tender age?
It's very interesting. I think there is something in art, and particularly in choral music, that asks us from very early ages to consider very mature topics. So when I was in grade school, and certainly in high school, I was singing pieces that treated topics of mortality and topics of you know, the human condition. And I think people mature into that very quickly and get a different perspective that is larger than themselves. Choral music is probably the best vehicle for delivering messages about humanity rather than solo songs. If you have a solo song that's, you know, I love this person, that's a beautiful text for a solo song. But it's not a perfectly suited text for a choir because it's too first person, it's too individualistic often. But there's a reason why masses get written for choirs, because they are messages of humanity. And I think as choral singers, we grow up in that sense of having a larger perspective on what it is to be human. And we're asked to do that, and we're asked to treat great poetry so that, you know, when I give pieces out that are poems, you know, settings of Walt Whitman or E.E. Cummings or Maya Angelou, people are being asked to internalize poetry at a very early age. And I think that is very transformational, because not everybody reads poetry anymore, and there's something about singing lyrics that internalizes the messages very quickly. We as adults, late in age, you know, you can do studies with seniors, they will remember pieces, song lyrics that they knew when they were very young. So those things stick with us. And if you happen to be learning the Brahms Requiem when you're very young age, when you're an adolescent, that asks you to look at the world differently. And I think that's part of what we do here, is we ask people to look at the world through music.
Dr. Stephen Sametz, award-winning composer, and Ronald J. Ulrich, professor of music and director of Lehigh University Choral Arts, speaking with us in anticipation of the spring concert program titled I Have Had Singing, with two performances, Friday, May 3rd at 8 p.m. and Saturday, May 4th, also at 8, in Baker Hall at the Zollner Arts Center on the campus of Lehigh University in Bethlehem. The concert program marks the completion of his tenure at Lehigh, 45 years on the faculty of Lehigh University. It is, as he puts it, his swan song. It is the Lehigh University Choral Arts, a program titled I Have Had Singing. Two performances, May 3rd and May 4th, Friday and Saturday, at 8 o'clock each night, in Baker Hall on the campus of Lehigh University in Bethlehem.